Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I'm so glad you joined me today as I continue on in a message I started yesterday. I'm entitled, The Greater Works. And we're looking at a passage in the Gospel of John, the second chapter, verses 1 through 11, which is the marriage feast at Cana. And we were just getting into it, but let me again now read the first verse. And the third day, there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now, in verse 11, John says, "This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him." This work that is recorded, this miracle that John records, preceded his public ministry. This came immediately after his 40-day fast in the wilderness, where he was tempted by the devil and he resisted temptation to use his miraculous power to gratify any of his needs. And his official ministry and display of the miraculous, all the cures and healings and deliverances he did, came about 4 months later at the quote-unquote official beginning of his public ministry in Jerusalem at Passover. But what was happening here? His power, he now displayed more privately before his disciples. Now let me read verses 2 and 3. "And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, They have no wine." What we see here is this was a wedding feast. And we see, obviously, God's divine seal of approval on the institution of marriage. Jesus came, and how fitting it was for the Lord of life to be present at the most joyous of all human experiences, as he came to sanctify all of human life, every part of our lives. He wants to put his blessings upon, and he will, as we joyfully come to him and allow him to be Lord of our lives as well as Savior. You see, there's a twofold thing. It's one thing just saying, "Lord, I want you to save my soul. I want to be in heaven with you." But it's another thing to make him Lord. In other words, what he desires, what he wants is paramount and more important than what we want. In fact, there's sometimes a great conflict between the two. We see that even in the life of Jesus. He was very God and perfect man. But as he was preparing to go to Calvary, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he did pray. He said, "Father, take this cup from me. You can do all things. Can we do this another way?" But he said, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done," giving us a pattern perhaps of the greatest prayer that we ever can pray. And, you know, I'm just have to pause and think for a moment. Back in 1984, Brother Glass and I had been married 4 years, and we had just moved to Tracy, bought our two-bedroom home. It was a small home, and 3 months in there, he had a major heart attack. He nearly died. He asked the doctor that as I took him to emergency, and they put him in intensive care. He said, "Am I dying?" And the doctor said, "That's what we're trying to prevent." And I remember that night, I went in my living room, and I laid down before the Lord. And we had a wonderful marriage. I so loved my husband. It was a marriage made in heaven. He was the most important person in my life. after the Lord. And yet, as I laid there before him, I yielded him into God's hands. I said, Lord, he is yours, and whatever you desire to do, I don't want you to take him, but not my will, but thy will be done. And I was able to submit myself to God with the most cherished and important thing in my life at that time. And as I went to visit him those next several days, as he was critical, I knew there was a faith. For about 2 weeks, I walked in the gift of faith. And regardless of the upset and the concern all around me, I walked in a supernatural dimension, and I knew that God was going to raise him up, which he did. And so, beloved, I just take that little time to share something personal in my life that regarding loved ones, even, I mean, not in the matter just of great sickness or imminent death, but also in terms of loved ones, children that are going their own way, we have to be able to release our loved ones into God's hands. Remember Abraham, the father of the faithful? God tested his heart. He was willing to give up his son Isaac. He had the knife raised, plunged to kill him, when the angel stopped him, and the word of the Lord said, "Now I know that you fear God." He knew that he was so willing to obey God, even if it meant the loss of his son. He was convinced God would raise him from the dead if need be. Nonetheless, beloved, that's where we need to be. We cannot hold on to any person, any relationship, any material thing, any position, any ministry, in any capacity, that it would be more important to us than the Lord. That's the kind of surrender, that's the kind of yieldedness that God wants. So, all right, let's go back to, I got a far afield, but I think it's important. I felt led of the Lord to share that. So what was he doing? He was displaying his power more privately before his disciples at this feast. And we see that the fact that Jesus was there, God was putting his divine seal of approval, not only in his Jesus's presence there, but also on subsequent events. And remember now, John in the 11th verse says this was the first miracle that he did. Let me read that again. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee and manifested forth his glory. This was the first miracle. So this was a sign. Remember on yesterday's broadcast, I talked about a sign that John used signs to and chose those miracles that marked stages of fuller teaching or revelation and led to higher faith. And this sign, if you will, this miracle was a dividing point between the Old and New Covenant. Remember, John the Baptist didn't do any miracles. And we know that under the Old Covenant, God certainly worked with water. He brought forth water out of the rock for his people Israel while they were in the wilderness. Remember Moses? He turned water into blood in the land of Egypt, and which was, of course, a sign of judgment. But here, as Jesus just begins to move in a public way, and he attends this wedding, he now turns a miracle of water into wine. So Jesus, by transforming that water into wine, was showing the work of the Son of God's transforming power. There's such richness in this passage, because we see that it wasn't just, oh, it was a miracle. There's no question he changed water into wine. But it's the significance that the Holy Spirit is allowing us to see. And all that Jesus did, beloved, all that he has done in your life, his desire, his express purpose through the power of the Holy Spirit is to enrich and glorify the natural realm through divine grace and power. Beloved, the Word of God, Jesus, was made flesh. Think of that, the mighty creator of all the universe. It still boggles my mind. It still blows me away. Decades after I've served the Lord, this God who spoke the world's worlds into existence, who formed these incredible galaxies, spaces. Science doesn't even know the dimensions of space. It is so big. Our solar system is just one little tiny solar system in the entire expanse of the universe. And yet this God loved us so much. He created man in his image, and when we were separated from him in sin, he did the only thing he could do. Love compelled him. He was willing to sacrifice his son so we could be again in fellowship with him. This same mighty God who spoke and there was light, who spoke and there was the firmament above the heavens and beneath, who spoke and the life forms, plant and animal came into existence. This same mighty God dwells in you and me. I can't contain that. I don't know about you. As Christians, sometimes we just, you know, we know these facts. We have a theological understanding of what God has done through the Word of God. But beloved, I tell you what, when you really meditate on these things, it just causes you to explode with joy and with, you can't take it all in. His oh goodness, as David said, in the multitude of thy thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul. Praise God. Well, my time is beginning to draw to a close, and we're going to pick up at verse 4 tomorrow. And I do hope you can be with me. We're going to just stay with this passage of Scripture as long as the Lord leads, and I trust you will really be blessed by the significance of the things the Holy Spirit wants to show us. But for now, I want you to know I love you, and I thank you for joining me. And listen now, if you have prayer requests, we're not meant to stand alone. Some of you may have prayer partners. That's wonderful. But some of you, I know, don't. Some of you have some situations that you can't share with anyone. And know that when I receive your letter, it's a personal bond between you, the Lord, and myself. And I will personally pray for you and send back by means of a letter. Yes, I still use snail mail, and I'm staying with it. Because there's something about books and letters and things we can read and later refer to that are really precious. I do use technology, but as little as possible. Anyway, I love you. The announcer is going to give you our contact information. Thank you for joining me. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. Or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless.